Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, T.
What's going on?
Oh, just another day in paradise.
Is it? Paradise?
Oh, is it?
It's another day.
It's another fucking day.
Sure. I mean, the weather's been really nice in New Jersey.
I literally woke up to a text message this morning from my sister at a whopping like 6 something in the morning. Why do I have to work? I'm like, girl, I don't fucking know, but I don't want to work either.
I've been calling my disability my retirement.
That's actually really nice.
So retirement has been great for me. I was talking to my mom and I was like, oh my God.
I get it.
Like, because like there's times when she'd be like, oh, what day of the week is it? Oh my God, I forget. Like, what's the date? And I was like, oh my God, like relax. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm retired right now because I don't know what day of the week it is ever.
When I was on maternity leave, I feel like I had no fucking clue what was happening.
No.
I just like,
I mean, that's also because you were taking care of a baby. I'm just,
But like, I feel like
rubbing
I,
the, oil on my stomach.
It correlates. Like, I feel like you're just kind of like waking up the next day and just doing what's on the next day's agenda. So it's sometimes you just, the like, days blur.
Like today I was able to do some cleaning. So like my house is clean.
That's nice.
And then I read, I'm going to finish a book. As soon as I get home, I'm like, it's another Elizabeth Overwork book.
Okay.
It's the Langstrom Brothers series. There's two books. I literally started one at 7 p.m. last night and finished it at 1 a.m.
So it's good.
Obsessed.
I trust
it's very different
from
the Grumpy Devils. It's more angst and like tension.
Can I handle the angst?
I think so. It's not, it's not.
The like, angst isn't like angst in.
No, like The Summer We Fell, that I think is her angstiest book. And that is like, my jaw hurt.
This series,
I think you'll really like. Tori mentioned it. So I just downloaded them and I tried to pick up a different book. I read like 15% and I was like, this is bad. So I returned it and I was like, you know what? I know I like Elizabeth O'Rourke. Like, let me just jump in. And I literally couldn't stop reading. And then I woke up this morning, started the second book, and I'm going to finish it.
You know what I was thinking we should do? We should put up a post. I feel like it'd be good for the two of us to do because you are a series finisher. I am not.
Yeah.
I was trying to do this myself. I have like a list in my phone and I was like laughing. So I was like, I didn't finish this, but I guess it could still work. But it's like, I started with this, and then I went to this, like Julie Johnson, like I discovered her Witchy City series. And then I tried her Boston Love series.
Yeah.
Like for Elizabeth O'Rourke, you can do like what you just did. Like Elsie Silver, I read Chestnut Springs and I went back to Gold Rush Ranch.
Right.
Like, things like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, we can probably compile a good list between the two of us.
Yeah, because there's a lot.
Yeah.
The same thing with, like, Devney Parr. I feel like any, like, interconnected standalone, like, romance series.
Yes. But I think they're good to, like, because, like, those, like, you always hear about the Edens. Do people know about Clifton Forge? Or, like, any of her, I mean, we haven't really delved in. I was like,
I've actually read a lot more of hers than I think about. But she has so many. Like, I don't know if I'll ever.
Like, Mary's almost finished her entire backlog.
I think Mary did finish her entire backlog.
That's incredible. I'm sure Logan has too.
Yeah.
There's a few of you out there that have. But yeah, like, even like the Elsie Silver series. I feel like a lot of times when you do like find a book or a series that you do like, you do tend to look for more work from the author. So it's not like this is something new and different out of the world.
No, but I honestly think it's like really good too that like I couldn't go back. Like, I am like splitting up Devney Parry series just because I think that if you read too much of one author, like you kind of burn out on them and then like, I don't want to read anything from them.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with them. It's just too much of one thing is too much.
Yes.
So I like to read like a series and then like, I don't think about this person for like months and then I like do another series and I don't think about the person for months. Like
exactly.
We're going to be talking about funny stories. Don't worry. I started the, Off to the Races series.
They're cute, but I think I read them back to back to back to back, which was fine because like it's Elsie Silver, it's quick, she's delivering. You could tell it's very much her first series, I think.
Yeah, the first two were good, nothing to write home
about. The third was my favorite.
And so I have two more to read and I think I have them downloaded, so I'm probably going to do that next week when I'm, or not next week, 2 weeks, I guess. When I'm.
But like, I have been in a finishing series kick. I finally finished Clifton Forge. Who the fuck am I? And then I finished the Elizabeth Rorick's The Devil series.
Yeah.
And I'm on my last JJ book for the Boston Love series. Who the fuck am I?
Well, you know what else you got to read next then? The Abby Jimenez books.
I know. I really do need to finish that.
Or start them, I guess.
Yeah, start them. I have not. Yeah, I have. Yeah. Like, I can at least say in that aspect. In that
mood, I'm like looking. I'm like, what series do you have that you haven't read?
I know it's over in my TBR part.
I just want everybody to read those books. It's her friend zone series. Because I'm obsessed with the third book in it.
I know I'm gonna love them. Yeah. It's not like a matter of like, am I or am I?
They're just very typical, like Abby Jimenez. Like there is miscommunication, and the female main characters are a little bit.
I will say, because I absolutely fucking hate the miscommunication.
She does
truck.
It well.
She does it a lot better than I would have ever expected, to the point where I thoroughly enjoy her books and have given them five
so
stars.
The Elizabeth Rorick book that I'm reading right now, so it's called Drowning Erin. It is just rife with miscommunication. Mm. Like, it's not even miscommunication. It's like they're just not communicating, which is why like there's so much like angst. And it's like if you guys just opened up and like talked to each other. They also are dealing with trauma. That is why they are the way they are. But I'm like, I was like grinding my teeth, like, because it's getting to the end where you know, like, it's going to come to a head.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be together soon. So it's like right before, and they're just being big dumb dummies. But anyway, speaking of big dumb dummies, let's talk about Peter and Petra.
let's talk about fucking dumb people.
Yeah. No. So obviously today we're here to talk about Funny Story by Emily Henry. It is her newest release that came out. Last Tuesday, so April 23rd, and it follows Miles and Daphne, and Daphne's fiance Peter on his bachelor party. His best friend Petra is like, oh my god, actually I think I'm in love with you. So he basically goes home and is like, I'm gonna be with Petra, and he leaves Daphne. So Daphne moves in with Miles, because now Miles is also single,
which is Petra's ex.
Petra's ex, Miles. So they're both left, and so they move in together, and basically Daphne's like, I just need to make it through the summer, because she is organizing a readathon event to raise money for the local library that she works at. So she's like, as soon as I get through that, I can leave. So I just need a place to stay for a few months, and Miles has an extra room, which is basically like a closet.
Yeah.
But she stays there, and they don't really like have anything in common. They don't really talk to
each
other.
They don't talk. They're just kind of like coexisting in an apartment in both, like, as they both wallow in their self-pity.
Yes. And listen, it's so funny. Like, in the beginning, like, literally right in the beginning, you get this, like, scene of Miles. So she hears, like, the same song being played, like, over and over again. And their neighbor is, like, complaining, whatever. So she goes and she's like, can you kind of, like, turn it down?
Yeah.
And she realizes that he's just watching the same scene of Bridget Jones over and over
again. As he, like, smokes weed out of, like, his window.
Yeah. And, like, okay, so what, like, when he's first described, I know, like, I saw, like, a lot of people on TikTok being, like, when he was first described, I was like, ew. Because he, like, is, like, he's smoking weed. I don't know. He wears Crocs, which, by the way, I'm wearing my Crocs right now. I made a video and somebody was like, I just could never get past the Crocs. A man that wears Crocs confidently is my man.
I think, okay, I was actually having
this
conversation.
He's wearing them as a fashion choice.
No, he's wearing them for comfort. So Tom and I were having this conversation as we were in the car yesterday. I forget what he was talking about with him where, it's like he was like, what if I wore X? I my pregnancy brain cannot compute what we were talking about because it obviously wasn't important. And I was like, I think there's a difference between wearing something that like is questionable, but if you wear it with confidence, that is attractive. Like, I don't care if you're wearing a fucking Hawaiian shirt with cat faces all over you. If you're walking around,
that is actually my vibe.
I know. But if you're walking around damn proud of yourself for it, you have to commend that person.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I
mean, he's owning the Croc. Like, yeah, like I'm wearing my Crocs.
Like, and honestly, it's like not even like that big. I thought that the Crocs were going to be like, he's wearing them with a suit. Like, he's just like owns Crocs and like wears them around the house.
Well, and also like he is in the service industry, which a lot of people in the service industry do wear Crocs.
Yeah, I have no excuse. I just like them. They're very comfortable.
They are comfortable. I wear them as well. I don't wear mine as much as you wear yours, but I wear mine.
I have my indoor Crocs, my outdoor Crocs, my winter Crocs, my summer Crocs.
She's crocked out.
That's why Miles and I would be perfect for each other. So, anyway, like, again, like, he's going through something. He's going through, you know, a bit of a rough patch. He's, like, laying in his room watching sad movies, smoking weed. I don't think there's anything wrong with this.
Me either.
I would actually rather him be smoking weed than, like, getting belligerently drunk every night. like going through, but he's not like this like crazy pothead who has like no like active drive and like doesn't have a life or is just like a loser.
And he's like, so like, even when she knocks on his door, she's like, hey, like, I don't want to walk out of this house anymore with my clothes smelling like fucking marijuana. Can you go outside? Like, and he listens. He's like respectful about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, there's nothing wrong with people that smoke weed.
Like, no. And again, it's not a big plot point of the story that he smokes weed. Like, he really does. Like, they like get high together on the beach. Again, nothing wrong with that. Same thing as like drinking a beer on a beach. But it's just funny because like the first impression you get of Miles is this like stoner loser who's just like wallowing in self-pity.
And because she, Daphne has like no idea what he actually does for work. She like thinks he's like this like.
He just does like odd jobs.
Yeah. Here and there. Like, so she's like, he's a loser. Like literally he's a loser.
And then you get to meet Miles. And he's not a loser. And he is like the best man in the entire world.
He's got some, and he's got some bad, like, I think like even I'm not saying him and Petra breaking up is upsetting. Cause it would upset me too, to be in that situation, especially when you're blindsided like that. Also like to kind of piggyback off that, I feel like as if whatever sex you are, right? If your partner has a best friend that is the opposite sex, I think it's really big of a person to accept, digest, and like respect that. Yep. Like there are some people out there, like you in particular, do have a lot of male friends. Yeah. You might not have like your best friends aren't male, but like I do know some girls that have male best friends and their spouses and partner, like Curie is a great example. Yes. Curie, if you're listening to this, I love you. But like she has a lot of male friends. And I think it's really big of Gio to acknowledge like that's a platonic friendship. Yes. Like there's nothing there. But like to get your like confidence and like that kind of respect that you're giving rocked like that.
Yes.
Like that's got to take a toll. Like, oh, childhood's best friends now getting together. Like then you start to question like every single fucking moment they've ever had.
And especially together. Because like, and Daphne said it so many times, like that Petra never gave her like a jealous vibe. She was always like so nice to her and like not in like a you're overcompensating for something kind of way, but just like genuinely was like so nice.
Yeah.
And like even like, so like towards the end, obviously like Peter and Petra break up. And when Peter, when Peter comes back, he's basically like, you know, I think that we thought like we were afraid of like losing like our friendship. And we thought that it meant more than it did, which like, no, I think they're just assholes. But, I think they just like turned it into something that it wasn't. And when they like both like, or Petra, I think realized first, like this.
Oh shit, I fucked up. Yeah,
this isn't it. And then Peter was like, "Oh, I'll just go get Daphne back.
Like she's definitely waiting for me." It's fucking Peter. Fucking Peter.
Fucking Peter. Honestly, like it makes me sick. Like thinking about like, because like Daphne's like he's out with his friends. Like she just like falls asleep on the couch. She's like so unbothered. Tone where he walks in the next morning and she like doesn't even like question it.
No.
And then he's like, "Oh, by the way, Petra's here. I'm leaving you for her." And we're going to go on a week-long trip to Italy so you can pack your shit and get out. Which, that, like, enraged me. And then they're immediately posting on Instagram that they're together. And, like, the whole thing with, like, their friends from D.C. and, like, bringing Petra to, like, their brunch spot. I was
livid for Daphne. Actually, so Julia Whalen, who is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, she does all of Emily Henry's books.
All of Emily Henry's. That part of the audiobook, I could, like, she conveys it so well. Like you can, like you're like getting fucking worked up with her. You're like, what the, like the response that Daphne is giving, I feel like are just very typical. Like what the fuck? Like,
yeah. And like Petra drives after they spend the night together at Petra's place, drives him back to the house and is waiting for him in the car while he gets his shit so that they can go on the So then
I would fucking key that bitch's car.
So Daphne brings like the Jordan almonds, which are like very like typical like wedding things. Outside, and she's like pelting like the car with it. I'm like, good.
I would have done a lot.
I would have done a lot.
I would have taken a baseball bat to kneecaps for the fiance number one because it takes two to tango. But a bat would be hit against the car as well. Pressure charges.
Listen, I know everyone's like, don't get mad at the girl. Like he was one. No, they're both wrong in this situation.
Situation, like it'd be different if she was a random girl.
He's worse because that is your fiance.
Yes.
But they're both fucking wrong in this situation. Yes. So anyway, so then Peter and Petra are like, now we're going to get married this summer instead of Peter and Daphne, which again. Oh my God. So they sent invites.
Which is Miles. So strange.
So the whole thing is that like apparently like the both of them like want to be seen as the good guys and like want to be like well liked and like don't want their like they just like don't like anima whatever. So they invite their exes. And that's like kind of what starts the friendship between Miles and Daphne.
Yeah. I love getting to know Peter's like quote unquote baggage that stems from his relationship with his parents. Mm-hmm. I think his sister was phenomenal. She was fucking amazing. You mean
Miles?
Thank you.
yes. I was like, Peter, we don't care about Peter.
No. Peter can die for all we care. Like Earl's gotta die. Like Peter's gotta die. Peter's gotta die. like I thought that was, this was my favorite Emily Henry book. Let's just preface that. I just think she does a job, like a great background for all of her characters in her books. But like, I don't know, like there was just something that like, it's a sad story, but like had great fucking quirky fun moments. Yes. So it kept it light, which I liked, because I feel like a lot of her other books do have a little bit of a heavier feel to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, yes, this is a thing that has happened to many of folk out there, and that is fucking tragic, and I feel for you. I have a couple ideas on how to hide a body, so if you ever need advice, just let me know. I'm your girl.
The FBI is gonna fly.
The FBI is gonna fly this. Little old Katie, who's in student loan debt, just hiding bodies for people for money.
No, but like legitimately, and I think she does a really good job, because she even gives like the side characters background in depth. They're not just there to like, I mean, what's her friend's name?
Ashley,
yes.
You get Ashley background.
Like, you understand, like, that she's divorced. You, like, understand the reasoning for the divorce. Yeah. Like, she has depth, too, and it...
It just adds to the story.
Yeah, because, like, it's not like she's just some, like, funny side character there for comedic and relief, which she is.
In this amount of, like yeah. How do you do that?
In less than 400 pages.
That's a fucking skill.
Like, and again, like you said, I think that this, even though there is, like, trauma that they have to work through and that they have to get over from, like, obviously their past relationships, but also just, like, growing up in their childhoods. Like they both, like Miles has a narcissistic mother who like
is a piece of shit.
And then Daphne's dad, like she deals with like, a lot of abandonment issues with him and like feeling like she can't rely on people. And she was like moving a ton, which her mom like later regrets, but she has a great relationship with her mom. So like that's just something that I feel like is like a regret, but not like a bad, not that she had a bad childhood because of it, but she just is, she's not quick to make friends.
No.
And
she keeps everyone like at arm's length for safety reasons.
But where was I gonna go with this?
Background for characters.
Oh my god. I think I'm just like talking about them. No, I had a point I was gonna make. I do think that this is her I think I said it in the group chat or said it to Mary. I was like, this is definitely her horniest book.
Yes.
But I also think it's her most, actually, people we meet on vacation may be her most lighthearted, but I think that this was very much lighthearted, mm-hmm. but it dealt with a few deeper things.
Yes.
Like, where I think, like, Beach Read and Happy Place are, Happy like, Place heavier. Definitely are
heavier, yeah.
Which we say this all the time on this podcast. Like, Emily Henry, we, like, always get mad that people say it's a rom-com when, like, it's they're not. This one was very rom-com-y. I still wouldn't classify it as a rom-com.
It reminds me of a Just for Summer situation. Yes. Like, there's funny elements. It has a light feeling to it, but it's still dealing with like trauma-based issues. It's a contemporary romance.
Yes. And I've said this too before. I like cannot think straight today.
I don't know what's going on with you, girl. Did my pregnancy?
Oh, and I wanted to get back. I wanted to get back to how it's the horniest book, because she doesn't write. Okay, so she doesn't write spice. She write. This is how I was trying to explain it. I'm like, it's not closed door. Because it's not like, oh, like, and then, like, we kissed and, like, all of a sudden it's the next day. But it's not open door. You're not getting, like, Miles being like, I'm going to shove you so full of my cock, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like the door is, like, ajar. And we're peering in.
We're peering in. That's a great way to put it.
Yes. Thank you. So, and I like that. Because I've been, like, not in, like, a very spicy mood.
I think I want, like, a good dash of it.
Yes.
But that's all I require.
And this delivered. We got a lot more, I feel like, than we have in the past from her books. And also, something that she does so well, and we both said this, is write banter and great dialogue.
Yes.
And so I don't want I don't want to, like, take that away just so I get, like, a lot of spicy scenes. I'd rather have, like, the dialogue and the banter.
Yeah. It builds up the tension for who you and I are in terms of readers. And we're not... If we are, for some reason, in a very smutty mood, we'll read just a very smutty book. Yes. But you and I tend to not ever really stray that direction very often. We like substance.
Yeah.
And, like, those books are totally fine and okay, and that's amazing that we have people that write those. But you and I just personally like a little bit more.
It doesn't... We want it's on our palette.
It's on our palette.
And that's okay.
It's totally okay.
Speaking of palette, so Miles works at a winery.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like a bartender there, but he like really knows his shit. Like, yes, I think that he's like, yeah, like, I'm not good at pronouncing French words. He's a sommelier.
Yes.
Yes.
I would assume if, like, you are working at a winery, you have to have some sort of, like, training.
Yes.
So you can educate those on.
But I love that scene, again, going back, when they get the invites. He texts Daphne. And, okay, so then you find out that he's, like, dyslexic. Because she, like, in the beginning, she's like, he always texts, like, incomplete sentences. He, like, mm-hmm. abbreviates, like, C-U to, like, the letters. Yeah. C-U, like, whatever. So, like, again, it's just, like, adding to that, that whole, like, picture that we have of him, like, a pothead. He, like, literally is, like, this, like, sounds dumb in his text. I don't say sounds dumb. But, like, the way that he texts is, like, if a man ever texts me, like, see you later, and it was, like, the letter C-U, and then, yeah. like, whatever, I'd be like, you can't just, like, write this out.
Yeah.
So they're, like, building this thing, and then you find out, like, why he, like, texts like that, and obviously it all makes sense, and we fucking love him, and you can text however you want, Miles. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
Well, and even, like, I just think it's a really good reminder to never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Like, don't judge someone just based off of surface level things that you're seeing. You really have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And that could be said for, like, any single fucking person in this world.
I was going to say, not just the ones that I love. But
literally, like, every single fucking person that you encounter. Like, what you're seeing, like, is just very surface level stuff. Like, you have no idea what people are dealing with.
No. So he, So he basically is texting her to be like, when you're going to be home, because they get the invites.
Yes.
And she gets home and he's, like, sitting on the couch, like, all depressed, drinking, like, coconut rum.
Yes.
And so they try to do that and they're like, no. So he goes into the cabinet. He has a whole wine cabinet, apparently, that, like, Daphne, like, didn't
had no
know
idea.
That.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, like, you have so much wine. He's like, well, yeah, like, kind of like, why wouldn't I? And she was like, I don't know, why would you? And he's like, are you being for real right now?
Like,
I literally
again?
Work at a winery. And she was like, since when? And he's like, for 7 years.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, Peter always, every time, like, they would go out with Petra and Miles, like, Peter, like, never, like, cared about getting to know Miles. He would always, like, put Miles down, like, in private between Daphne and Peter. So, like, she just had this impression of him that was completely different than, like, who Miles really is.
Yes. Which, like, fuck you, Peter.
Yeah. And then they go out and they go to this, like, bar and they have, like, this great night. And they meet this, like, old biker man that they're, like, convinced is a serial killer. And they go back home and they're wasted. And they're basically, like, let's RSVP to these weddings that we're going. So the next morning they wake up, Miles goes out and is like, I'm going to get breakfast sandwiches. Cause apparently this man, like, doesn't have hangovers. And Daphne wakes up and Peter calls her and he's like, oh, like, you know, kind of like making it seem like you don't have to come.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. And she's like, oh no, Miles and I are together now. We're coming.
Yeah.
As a couple.
Like, he was almost like pitying her. Like, oh
yeah,
you're saying yes. Like, oh.
It must be really hard for you.
Like every time.
He basically was like, oh yeah, do you need a plus one so you don't have to be alone? And she's like, oh, my plus one already got an invite. He's like, who? She's like, mild bitch.
Yeah. But even like when Peter shows up in the end too, like, it's almost like no matter what he's doing, it's doing her a favor. Like, I made a mistake. I knew you'd be waiting for me. Like,
yeah.
I'm back now. Like, we can just put all this behind us and just pick up where we left off. Like, the fuck?
The fuck.
I'd be like, get the fuck out this door before I chase you with that baseball bat. Or
which is kind of what she does, but, like, nicer.
That would be nice.
There was, like, never any chance for a reconciliation. So I saw somebody make a video about this, and they were, like, saying how they didn't like this book because they felt like Miles was, like, a rebound the whole time. And I was like, I read it so differently.
Same.
Like, yes, obviously their exes play a large role, but I think the way that Daphne, like, talks about how she feels about Miles, like, in her monologues and stuff, is like so
it's very indicative of not just a rebound.
And yeah, and she keeps being like, I don't like, and then she keeps like saying like too, like, I wasn't myself when I was with Peter, and like I kind of like let myself get swallowed up like in his orbit, and like his friends became my friends, so now I don't have anybody. And like with Miles it's different, and she like feels like he sees her and he like really understands
her,
and they become like best friends before like anything really happens.
Yes And I think I'm not saying it's an age thing either, but I do find that as you maybe maturity levels, I don't think every guy that you talk to, see, date after a breakup has to necessarily always be a rebound.
No, and especially in this case too, she didn't like go there, jump into his bed and start fucking him, and then they developed like a relationship. They like didn't even talk. They develop a friendship, and then eventually they're like, oh, we have
and
feelings.
And even when they started to like kind of like internally almost like, well, especially from like Daphne's side of the view, like she very much was like yes, I'm falling for him, but like they both have kind of said in different like places throughout the book, like they don't want to ruin their friendship. These are not like each other's best friends. Yeah. Like the last thing they want to do is like compromise that in any which way. So I think it was a very mature conversation and like internal monologue that we got to witness. Yes. Like they didn't want to make a decision just because like, oh shit, like I'm a little fucking horny because I need to get laid, right? And you're hot. Like,
yeah.
It was like, yeah, I think all these things, but like, I also really respect you as a person, yes, and our friendship, and I don't want to ruin anything. Yeah.
So like the fake dating, it's like literally like barely a plot point.
Yeah.
It's like the catalyst that gets them to like kiss maybe twice, yeah, but then like it quickly like becomes like nothing.
Well, and like, again, maturity, like, because they come clean immediately to Julie. They're like, we just did this because of X, which I was like, I,
yeah, they
like
basically
this.
Come
like,
clean to everybody in their lives, yeah, except for Peter and Petra, which, like, but like, good, they're, yeah, they they're only ever randomly running into them anyway.
But I love when Daphne kind of like brings up to him, because again, like, now she's developing these feelings and she's like, I don't even know if you want to kiss me. And he just goes on this fucking tirade of like, when I'm sure you have a tab,
I do,
like, of why, like, when he wants to kiss her, like the sound she makes, like, yeah, all these different things. I'm like, this is amazing.
I want to kiss you every time I hear the shower turn on and I know you're in there. I want to kiss you all the time. Sometimes it's easier to find an excuse. Sorry, he starts off here. Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but
it's,
yeah,
so good. It's, I'm so like, good. Oh my God, this is amazing.
No, there's, and then like, he like wants to kiss her. They want to do more, mm-hmm, but he like kind of like holds himself back because, and he like, that's the thing too. Great communication.
Yes.
He's like, this was like, I'm a little fucked up from this with my childhood, blah, blah, blah. I don't like, you're my best friend. And I, like, I don't want to ruin, like, our relationship, like, for something physical. And, yeah, like, she, like, hears him say that. And she's, like, no matter what she wants, she's, like, I could do this for him. Like, where I can take a step back and we can, like, work on being, yes, friends. They do a terrible job at taking the tension away.
Yes.
But, like, as a reader, like, I was, like, loving it. But, yeah. So, like, they become, like, friends.
Yeah.
Which is great. And he finds out that she like is basically counting down the minutes until she can like leave Michigan, and she's no idea really where she wants to go. But he's like, okay, he's like, I love it here. And like, he moved there from like Chicago, so it's not like he's like a native, but he's like, every Sunday, like, keep your Sundays open. I'm going to take you out and I'm going to show you why like this place is amazing, yeah, and you should stay. Like, you're going to fall in love with this place.
Yeah.
And they go on all these like great like little dates together, and then when his sister comes, like, she goes with them, and like, actually they make it like a whole like group thing. It's not like,
it was really nice to see, and again, this is just what Emily Henry does really well, like, it was great to see like Daphne, who struggles, which, like, okay, two things with this. She writes really relatable characters, even if like the whole outlook of the character, or like the whole picture of the character, mm-hmm, and the situation isn't 100% relatable, but like, you're a bit more extroverted than I.
Yeah.
Same with my husband. Like, he's way more extroverted than I. So, like, when we're out, I do find I could talk to anybody. I could talk to a wall.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier when it's one-on-one for me, not, like, a huge group of people. And I think that's kind of, like, almost what she, yeah, has struggles with also. And she thinks that people just liked her because they liked Peter.
Yes.
So, it was kind of cool that she got to finally put herself in a little bit of an uncomfortable situation, and she got a friend out of it.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know, like, I was like, that's, I feel like it's nice when you can relate, even if it's like small doses, yeah, or small little aspects. But it was, I was also excited to see like, okay, this is an issue that she deals with. This is her background information, but, yeah, now we're seeing her evolve in not just a relationship status, but also like her friendship and like what she had, yeah, troubles with. It was,
and
so
she,
cute.
Yeah, she struggles like with that.
Yeah.
A lot. And I mean, there is like the found family aspect too, with like the, yes, poker games and stuff. But I think it's, so like, you know, at the end, she forgets about, so her dad like breezes into town, mm-hmm, and he basically like stirs up mayhem. Like, is like, I don't want to give this man like the energy.
No.
But in his little storm that he like brings into town, she basically like forgets about Ashley's birthday, and, yeah, she spends like the night like with Miles instead, and Ashley like doesn't call or text her to be like, hey, like, are you coming? They kind of like, whatever. So again, like, not a good friend.
No.
Like, I don't want to say not a good friend. It's a shitty thing to do to a friend.
Yes. Not a good moment.
Not a good moment. And it just shows you how like Daphne like really like hasn't had friends.
Yeah.
Because like, she like, but again, she immediately, she does make excuses. She's like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
And then even Ashley says like, you have to allow your friends to fuck up. Like, your friends are going to hurt you, or they're going to annoy you, or like things are going to happen in life that you're like, that you're mad at them for, but you kind of have to get over it. It's not like, it's not like Daphne killed her son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's no malicious intent there. Right. So she simply forgot.
And she makes it up to her. Like, they become friends again. Yeah. But at the end, which is like what I really, really loved, when Daphne and Miles get back together, she's like, I'm going to move out though. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, he's kind of like taken aback by it. He's like, I don't understand what you're saying to me. Cause she's literally like, I love you, but, and he's like, I don't understand. Like, where, what that, like, are we? What, like, he's like, yeah. He's like, are we together? We're not together. Like, what are you saying? But she's basically just like, I don't want to be caught in somebody else's orbit. I need to figure out like what I want, who I am, like what's important to me. I need to prioritize myself because I got lost in Peter's orbit. And when he left, I had nothing and I can't do that to myself again.
Which I think is very big.
And I loved that.
It's a very caught up moment with Liz Tomford. Yes. Like, you recognize that there's something going on with you, that you want to fix it to be better. So it's like, I'm going to do this for me, but in turn, it's going to also like help them too.
Yeah. And like what, they moved in like a year later together. Yeah. But I loved it because, again, like, especially in the beginning of a relationship when you're so excited and like so hung up on
her. That honeymoon phase where you don't want to leave each other's sides.
And again, like, she moved to Michigan to be with Peter. That doesn't work. She moves in with Miles. Miles all of her brings friends. Her into his orbit again. Yeah. Besides Ashley, but Ashley becomes friends with Miles.
Yes.
But like Julie and like, he knows everybody, like, in the town. Like, all, like, they have all these connections, like, with the same people. And she basically doesn't want to be like, if things don't work out with us, then I'm, again, like, I need to be able to stand on my own 2 feet. And I love it. And I like that he gives her, like, that he, like, respects that and, like, gives her that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people wouldn't.
No. They'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, we're together. Yeah. Let's just be together.
And I'm happy that I haven't seen anybody complain about that. Which I'm happy about, because I feel like people be like, well, they're together. Like, it wasn't like this, like, big, like, I mean, the epilogue, you get them living together.
Exactly.
Like, it's fine. Whatever. Yeah. I loved it.
It was so fucking good.
No, there's so much more that we could discuss.
And now I kind of think.
Yeah, I know.
I was glad that she had her moment with her dad too, like, finally kind of like,
yeah.
I think it's really, I have no knowledge of this. Like, I think I had a wonderful childhood and I don't have any mommy daddy issues that I know of. I think my parents were great, but like,
yeah,
it's, I can only imagine if you have some trauma from your childhood, it's like you love this person with a whole different type of love because it's a parent or like, whether it's a parent or child or family member, I feel like it's a different kind of love that you have.
Yeah.
Like, my love for my daughter is very different than like the love I have for Tom.
Yeah.
So like, I could only imagine from a child's perspective, in some cases, that you don't want to like go after said parent because she did have a good childhood. She just had this one part of it that bothered her and kind of led her to be a certain way, even though her mother was absolutely fucking terrific.
Right.
So it was kind of nice to finally see her have her moment also where she felt strong enough and in a good enough spot to be able to confront her dad.
Yeah.
Even though knowing it might hurt his feelings, but like, this, my feelings have been hurt and I've been burying it for your sake.
Right.
Like, now it's my turn to let you know how I'm feeling. So it's kind of nice that she like, it was a really good growth and development.
I was going to say for both of them, yes. Because you know, her dad ends up kind of coming around to things. Also, like, okay, so her dad like breezes into town. He's like married to this like woman.
Star or something.
Yeah. Who's like,
I love the Titanic moment.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's so nice, but like, she's.
But nice also because like, once she finds out like what the father had done to her in the past, she's like mad at him for it. I'm like, okay. You're quirky, but you're a good person.
The dad doesn't realize that he's been such a bad dad, which, like, it's not on Daphne to explain to you why you're a bad dad. But I think that, like, her calling him out
was great.
And so he comes into town. They have all these plans. And then they meet some guy. And this guy invites them to go on this, like, whatever. And so he leaves without saying goodbye. Just kind of, like, breezes out of town the way he breezed in. And like, Daphne was like, I should have expected this.
Yeah.
He was acting a lot better. He was like paying for things. Like,
he wasn't looking for handouts.
So like, she was like, maybe like he got his shit together, and then he leaves. And this, that is like her biggest, I don't want to say fear, but like her biggest fear. We'll just go with it.
It's like
Peter,
a trigger.
Yeah. Like, her dad's always like leaving. Peter left. Like, it's a trigger. And then at the same time, all this happens, Miles is also trigger kind of kicks in where he like kind of panics a little bit. And he explains to her, like, I feel like I can't trust my feelings all the time because everything that like I did as a child or every feeling that I felt, like it was like weaponized against me by my mom. So he doesn't ever feel like he's good enough, or so he panics a little bit, kind of goes off the radar. And then he realizes like, no, I fucking love this girl. So then he goes to try to get her dad back. But like in the meantime, like she's like, he's panicking. He's left. Another person has left me now.
The only thing that I did not like that he did was go help Petra.
Yes.
That bothered my insides. It wouldn't be something, if I was in the same exact shoes as Daphne, I don't think I would personally let that ruin my relationship either, especially because it's a very early on relationships. It's the beginning. You're still trying to heal from like the fact that these two people literally up and left your life in a blink of a fucking eye with no notice. But I feel like that's something where if like, if this was me and Tom in the exact same situation, if he told me like, oh, well, I went to go help my ex, I'd be like, hey, come the fuck again?
Yeah.
Like, what did you just say to me?
Yeah.
Like, I would have some qualms, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't forgive very easily for that aspect.
No.
Especially if, like, you just kind of went dark and off the radar where, like,
yeah,
now you're kind of thinking.
Yeah, because now she's thinking the worst. Because Peter's like, oh, yeah, well, Miles ran right back to Petra when she needed him. And realistically, she called him. She won't need help moving. He's like, take my truck. I'll take your Jeep.
Yeah.
I have to go find Daphne's dad. But, like, exactly. None of this is communicated to Daphne.
No.
So
and
it
the
looks
worst,
a lot worse than it was.
And the worst thing is it was delivered to her by Peter.
By Peter. So, like now it makes her, like, look
stupid
in front of an ex who made her look stupid.
Exactly. So, like, I feel like that whole exact situation happened to me. I would be off my rock.
Yeah, I would be more mad about you making me look dumb than the situation. I'm like, if you would have just told me when Peter came over,
I'd
be like, yeah,
I'm 100% okay with this.
They exchanged cars. He went, whatever.
Yeah.
Again, he went to go see her dad. He didn't want her to know, especially because the dad, like, at this point still is like, okay, well, I'm not coming back. Like,
exactly.
I'm going on this trip, whatever. But, like, I love that he did that. And then he's like, but I love you. Like, I went to do it because I love you. And she's like, I can't believe you would say that to me right now. Like, this is not the time to tell me that you love me.
Yeah.
And then he gets really upset because he's like, I feel like, you know, I admitted my feelings. And again, like,
here they are just getting like
stomped on.
Yeah.
I just like wanted that. They grow and they heal together. And it's like so nice.
It is.
But she's like constantly like always saying to him like, oh, like you don't have to do that for me. Like she doesn't trust even in like the friendship a lot. She thinks that he like thinks of her as like a burden or that he feels sorry for her. So he does things for her because he's just too nice, but it has nothing to do with her. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. He was like, do you know how often you do that? And she said, do what? And he's like, act like my opinion doesn't matter. And she's like, of course it matters. And he's like, everything I say, it's like, oh, of course you'd say that you're Miles. You're so nice, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He said, no one wants you around, but what about me? And she goes, well, what about you? He's like, me wanting you doesn't count. Me wanting you doesn't count. It counts.
I loved it so much.
It counts.
Is this your favorite Emily Henry book?
I put it tied for one with Beach Read. I just love Beach Read so much.
Beach Read is really fucking good.
I feel like I have to like sit on both of my feelings for these. And I've just, like, Beach Read has been in my life now for, like, 3 years.
That's true.
So
and
I
Gus
feel
is
like, yeah. And I love Gus in January. I think it's a little, obviously, it's a little more angsty. So mm-hmm. I feel like there's just, like, more, like, but, like, Miles is more my type than Gus would ever be. Like,
Miles,
Gus is wet. Gus is my type in a book, but, like, in real life, I'd be like, go away. But Miles, I'd be like, that is my man. And I'd go after that.
I think this 100% is my favorite.
It was just
I would
so
say
good.
Book lovers and Beach Read now might be tough. Because, like, you're right. Like, I don't know. It's so hard when they're all so good. But this, I think, is definitely my favorite Emily Henry book.
I just love it. I'm just, like, reading the quote.
Also, she's, like, the fucking cutest individual in the entire world.
Oh, yeah. Emily Henry's, like, adorable.
I don't have anything tapped, obviously, because I listened to it. I own it, but I did not tap it.
Oh, do you own it? Who picked it up for you?
Teresa.
And I love her relationship with her mom.
I do like her relationship with her mom, too. And you know what? I liked that there was no, like, there's no third act breakup. There's just, like, a minor conflict, which we already discussed. But I like that she turns
it's
to
It's a breakup.
Mom.
They're separated
You're
for
right.
a few weeks.
They're separated for a few weeks. But it doesn't read like a, oh, I hate you, get back. Like, it's not like one of those.
No.
But I like that she turns to her mom. And it's kind of like, I wish I was like you. And she's like, oh, honey, fuck no. No, you don't. Yeah. Like I can't, I think she's like, I think I ruined you. Like, I think I skewed your thoughts. Like, I like that, like, though her and her mom have a wonderful relationship. But her mom was like, girl, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Like, be different. You don't want to be me.
Be better than me.
Be better than me. Like, this is what I want for you. And I think that was like her eye-opening moment, which was so nice. I'm like, oh, it was so pivotal.
I know, it was so pivotal. I also like love this. I feel like I've said this like every romance book, but she was like, I love him. He knows me and I see him. Like, so is that like, we know each other. Like, we see each other. Like, even the unspoken. Because she's like, I don't know why he wouldn't tell me about my dad. And she's like, actually, I do know why he would tell me.
Yeah.
Because he loves me. And it would have broken my heart.
Yeah.
And he would never want to cause me any pain.
Yeah.
He would rather
do it himself, handle himself.
And then, like, have me be mad at him for being like, where the fuck did you disappear to? Than like, have to tell me something heartbreaking about like my dad.
Yeah.
Like,
I tried to bring, I was, let me go try to get him. And then like, oh, he's not coming back.
See, like, okay. This is what, okay. So Peter told her about your dad. And then Petra started saying stuff about how you'd been through too much. And that you weren't the kind of person who could deal with uncertainty. Basically, like, putting these, like, bad ideas in Miles' head. Being like, you're not good enough for Daphne. Like, she's been through too much. And, like, you're not ready for that.
Yeah.
And it freaked him the fuck out.
Even, like, the kid comment. To, like, well, that's something that, like, Daphne really wants. Like, you might want to think about this. Like, never, like, Miles never said outright, like, I don't want children. I think he's just fearful of, like, how they're going to turn out because of, like, how he turned out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, fuck you, Petra, too. Like, though, like, Petra's obviously a culprit here. I think she's written a bit more, like, free-spirited. Like, she is kind. Like, you could never have anything bad to say about her. But I think in that aspect, I think it just goes to show, like, there are two people who made a rash decision, and it wasn't the right decision, and now there's, like, jealousy stemming.
Yeah.
Because they're people that they did love and probably still do love are now finding themselves, bettering themselves, and, like, coming together. And yet their relationship is crumbling apart.
Yeah.
Like, Peter now has two failed proposals/engagements.
Yeah.
Like, they can't feel good.
No.
Because of, I mean, all because of him, too. Like,
yeah.
Not because of any, like, other foreseen instance. It's, like, all because of you.
Yes. And then, like, he goes on to tell, like, Daphne basically, like, what Petra said, like, freaked me out. Because I can never give you this, like, all-American life. And, like, I don't really always have my shit together. And, like, I can't, like, provide for you in these, like, ways that maybe Peter could have, whatever. And he's like, I didn't learn what love was supposed to feel like. It doesn't feel natural or come easily to me to let anybody close, but you make love easy. You make me think I already deserve it exactly how I am. And I feel lucky every time you look at me, not because I think I've managed to earn you, but because it feels like you don't need me to, like, you just like me. He's like, no, like, you love me. That's how I feel with you. And I don't know who, and I know I'm not who you pictured yourself with, but I think I could be eventually if you'll let me. So don't go, because I don't want you to, because you're my best friend and I'm in love with you. I would have dropped my pants.
Like, everyone look away.
And been like, come to mama. Like, can you imagine the love declaration like that?
No. I also don't know how I would actually handle it in real life. I'd probably laugh and be like, I gotta go.
I would actually probably laugh. But like, it's so, I just got the chills. Like, it's so nice. Like, he's like, I could do better. Like, I could be better for you. I could do all these things. He's like, and he's like, you know, you like me. Like, you're not expecting anything from me. And I still want to be able to, like, give you the things that you want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I won't hurt you. And she's like, how do you know that? And he's like, I know how hard I'll try. Just stay. I love you. I want you. Stay. He's like begging her to stay. And I love that in the book. Like,
me too.
And she does. But she's like, but I can't live with you. Hope that's okay. And then they get, like, they're happily ever after. Yeah. 412 days after I stayed.
It was so good.
I thought,
not that I don't like alternating timelines, because I do, but that was Happy Place.
Yes.
At first, I was nervous that this was going to be an alternating timeline. And I just feel like, I was like, I don't want another back-to-back Emily Henry alternating timeline. So I was very pleased that it was just a countdown to when she could leave.
Yes.
Because they do go back a little bit to give you background, which makes complete sense.
Yeah,
you have to give some information about what the hell is going on. But at first I was like, ugh. Like, and again, I love alternating timelines. So I was like, but another Emily Henry alternating timeline? I'm like, this is too soon. Give me like a book in between. So I was very happy with the turn of events.
I also, I was almost like getting the impression that maybe it would be like enemies to lovers. Like there was like a misunderstanding and like they were like, and then they would like, I love that it turned into a friends to lovers.
I agree.
Because that is my favorite trope. But I think for the two of them.
And it made the most sense.
It made the most sense. Like I'm happy that it wasn't some like, oh, we're fake dating. And like the sex part came first and then the friendship came after. Like I like that it was like a very natural progression between the two of them. And it didn't ever feel forced. And you got to see Daphne like grow into herself with her friendships. And a lot of times with like with books, romance books, I'm always like, oh, I wish I had the male point of view. I didn't feel that way with this. I didn't need Miles' point of view.
I got it.
And I think because they were communicating like kind of so well about things, like you understood who he was and what was like driving his actions and how he felt.
I think
without
that's one
having
thing,
to get his POV.
Yes. And I think that's one thing Emily Henry again just does very well across the board. Yeah. Like you feel like you get everything, even though it's only from a single POV.
Yeah. I know, I love it.
She's like one of those authors. Again, I love a rom-com. I like almost, I don't want to call it a copy-paste because each rom-com is still different.
But some are very
But some
copy-paste.
Are very copy-paste. But I do like with her books, kind of like an Abby Jimenez too. Like they were contemporary romance and like you're always going to get some tropes and some aspects, but like the story itself is different.
Yes.
So, like, I think that's just why I will always enjoy an Emily Henry book.
I was going to say, I feel like Emily Henry, everybody says this, but, like, all of her books, like, the titles, like, they're not a good depiction of what the book is about. I think this one
is the best.
Perfect sense.
And the ending of this book, I literally was, like cheering.
So,
it's a funny story. I was like, oh, my God.
And that's how it starts too. Yeah. Like Peter always loved telling the story about how we met. Like it
funny
was like this
story,
like blustery day and my hat blew off and whatever. And now it's like they're telling
this
like,
one
their
tied
story.
In really well. Cause you are correct. Like beach read, it's not a beach read. It's like people we meet on vacation isn't really people we meet on vacation. Happy Place is not Happy Place.
No, book lovers, I kind of understand.
Yes.
So People We Meet on Vacation, in the UK version, it's called You and Me on Vacation. And I was like, that makes sense.
That makes a shit ton of sense.
Not a great title. You and Me on Vacation. But like, People We Meet on Vacation. I'm like, what? They didn't meet on vacation.
And it's they're not like, you're meeting people, but like that has
nothing to do with
the story.
Yeah. So this one, I was like,
This actually makes sense.
And it was funny.
It was. It had good banter.
Happy Place was like depressing place.
Yes.
Loved it. Just not a great name.
No.
So I didn't.
Like even the cover to like the art, like them all jumping into the water.
And it's like bright pink. And
like
happy go lucky vibes.
But it's not.
It is not happy go lucky.
Like it was their happy place.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Past tense.
Very past tense. Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect going into this.
It's like depressy, stressy, and
and more depressy. But funny story is not. But yeah, I didn't know what to expect going into it because I was like, oh my God, like with Emily Henry, like she like, well, then name it something and like give it a cute cover.
Yeah.
And then we all want to like die at the end.
Literally.
Or midway through. And this one, I was like, okay, no, I love this.
I really want to, so like obviously I'm moving in June. I really want to, like, I've decided this a couple of days ago, like I can't do it here. I have no fucking space, but I would, now that I own two hardcovers of Emily Henry, I want everything else in hardcover, which isn't, what's three more books. I think it's three more. Anywho, I want like a designated like Emily Henry. Plus like the cover colors are beautiful.
Like I know that she puts these out, like Happy Place paperback came out.
Yes.
But like now can I just get the first three in hardcover?
Please. Like that's what I really want. I want to do like my own little like whatever. Yeah. Plus the addition of my Julie Johnson collection. Like I have now the newest additions. Thank you to Mary and Teresa for my birthday gift of Witch City. But I also have like the fun colored paperbacks. So, like I feel like I need to like
have a fun.
Find a way.
Yeah.
But I also want like a witchy thing. I have a witchy envisionment. So like, again, when I move, like poor Tom, my entire house will be books and he's going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. As he should.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it'd be like a really cool, like dining room, like separator. Like, I mean, like depending upon where we move, like the place we're seeing tomorrow is literally just like,
honestly, shotgun. You can do that and you can just put like books on both sides. Yes. So it's like dual.
Yes. That's kind of like what my thought process was, because Leah knows to not touch the books. She waves, we say hi books. And, but like, she got confused for a minute because she has her own bookshelf and she fucking like throws those things off the shelves. But then she like walked over to mine. I'm like, don't you even fucking dare. She, like, no. I'm like, we say hi to mommy's books.
We wave to those. Those are special.
But plus like that thing is like not like bolted. So like if that tips, this kid is like destroyed. So
911, we have an emergency. Literally just say,
like my bookshelf fell on my child. But yeah, so I'm like, okay, like maybe I can do something cool like that.
Yeah, I think you could.
That's what I'm thinking. We'll see. We'll see where I move to.
I'll say, we'll see where you end up and then you and I will come up with the floor plan. Duh. And be like, Tom, put that
this
there.
This is what you're going to need to do.
So next week, so
we have a change.
We have a change, but we never announced.
No, but we put a post up.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have a change in schedule. Next week is going to be spilling the tea.
Chop.
So Avery Keelan had to postpone, her newest release. So we will be postponing the interview. So we'll do just a regular spilling the tea next week. Then we'll have Morgan Elizabeth interview.
Love always talking.
And then we will have, actually, I'm going to need to make two adjustments to the schedule.
We have a couple changes. They're all fun changes, though.
No, yeah, they're all good changes.
All good things. All good things.
I'm like, where was it? Okay. All right, so we have a funny story today. So next week is Spilling the Tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Savor It by Tara DeWitt. We're just going to postpone by a week because scheduling conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to be talking to her about Savor It. So just tomorrow, there will be a... Or yeah, today, I guess, if you're listening to this now, there will be a new calendar up on our post in case you guys are wondering what's up and coming.
So we don't need to keep talking about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's it for us. Miles is number one and number two fans. Number one A and
one
we're number one's fans. Number one fans. Miles number one fans. I don't know why I couldn't say that.
We're going to go now.
On that note.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.